Right. We're now joined by our crew chief, Cliff Daniels. We'll go ahead and keep the questions rolling. We've got Dustin, Nate, and then Jordan.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Jeff, you used the term when you're talking about Larson's moves, creativity. What was it that stood out to you that you have an appreciation for that I can't see since I'm not having done what you've done? And what did you see of that creativity, and how has that, I guess, grown through the years with your organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of great drivers have it, but especially with his dirt background, I think you have to have that ability, or you learn that you've got to search around the racetrack to find speed or to find ways to pass. And there's not a lot of grooves here, right? We know it's very narrow, so you're just playing in a very tight window. But just, I think, surprise, and even he said it to me when I talked to him after the race. He's like, yeah, I just was surprising him. And that's sometimes a method that works. But then the spotters are telling the next driver, say, hey, he just dove in, and made a pass here. And then that driver understands and they learn and then they start looking. So then you got to try something else. And, whether it's get to their outside, arc in, get a run off the corner, force them into the corner to overdrive it, whatever it may be, you have certain things at your disposal, but some guys have a bigger toolbox than others, and he seems to have a lot of them.
And Rick, Jeff used the phrase surprise in terms of Kyle surprising the competition. You've seen, obviously, you've had so many great drivers in your history. How does Larson surprise you in what you see him do?
Every time I see him make some of the moves that he makes three wide, or how he will go down under or figure out a way to set a guy up, I think when these cars are so equal, it stands out more than it did when you had a big advantage with Arrow or whatever, in the years past. This car just makes everybody, it brings the field together. So you just don't see other people. They get in the lead, they're good. But how to work somebody and get by them and clean. And I asked him, I said, what made you feel so good in this today? And he said, the IndyCar. He said, I learned a lot driving the IndyCar and how to set people up and watch, work in the corners. And, he's just a student, and I think when I look back to Tim Richmond and Jeff Gordon, now Jeff Gordon's the best I've ever seen.
Oh, stop!
I think Jeff will say this: in equal equipment, the guy is really hard to beat if you just get him even. And I think his confidence level, coupled with his God-given talent. It's just a lethal combination. And this guy over here gives him the best stuff, always in his ear. They remind me of Ray and Jeff or Jimmy and Chad. And, just watch, standing back, listening to them and the confidence they have in each other, it's pretty remarkable.
Go ahead, Nate.
Can I say something to the gentleman back here that I said no on the racetracks? Roger Penske is one of my best friends. We vacation together. If I win a race, he texts me. If he wins a race, I text him. We kid each other, keep it in the family. We're competitive. We want to win. But he sets a standard of energy that I've never seen to do what he does 7 days a week. And, he's just he's a great guy, a great friend. I just wanted to add that because he's a very special friend of mine. So.
Go ahead, Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. I'm on your left, guys. I've got one for Jeff and Rick, but I'll start with you, Cliff. There was one point, I think, in the first two stages where you said something like, Kyle asked you, objectively, what I need to be doing here, and you said something like, I need you to save as much fuel as you can. I need you to pass as many cars as you can. Two things that are obviously diametrically opposed. How did he do that really well through the first two stages, and how did that help especially for the last stage where he was in a better position to be able to pass guys and, just his racecraft in general today? What did you make of all that?
Yeah, I think Mr. Hendrick just described it really well. Some of the IndyCar experience of just getting the timing of the runs Kyle definitely had a vision of what that needed to look like. So then as he was setting up timing the runs, when it was off timing, he was doing a lot of fuel savings at that point. So to your point, yes, that statement, you know, at face value may sound like, you know, those two are completely opposed. Hey, go past cars and save fuel. Sounds impossible. But his vision for what he needed to do to get a run, and when the run was not timed, save fuel as you're building the next run, I think that was a bit of an edge today that he carried with him behind the wheel that I don't know that anybody else had. And I'm sure they'll go back and study the data and get better next year. But Kyle certainly had that advantage today.
And then for Rick and Jeff, Kyle said after the race that he felt like this win was a full circle moment going back to May. With this win today, he is now in the regular season points lead, where I don't have to remind you guys, it looked like there was a chance he might not even be in the playoffs a couple of months ago. Yeah. So does this feel like it's a full circle moment that, you know, he wins this race and it kind of erases, not that May went badly, but certainly missing the 600 and then having to get the waiver and do all that, does this kind of like bring it full circle and make you guys feel like it was all worth it?
Yeah, well, we were very thankful we got the waiver, but I think everybody knew and NASCAR knew we were there and we were ready to get in the car if the race had continued in Charlotte. So we were there. And I think if we had blown the race off completely, I think probably wouldn't have gotten a waiver. And, you know, we talked about it. Cliff was all on board with him doing that race. He knew what it meant to him. But I think it was like a job. I think the disappointment in the 600 and not being able to finish that race and bringing that paint scheme here was extra motivation. And, no, I think I'm glad that NASCAR gave us the waiver. And, you know, so we were there. I mean, I think that's the difference. We were there, and it hadn't rained. I think he could have won that race. And so this is a really I've got texts from folks at Chevrolet, Mark Royce. Love the paint scheme. So, you know, I can't tell you the disappointment we all had with the way that weekend ended up. So I do think this was a celebration more than normal because of the disappointment we all had not finishing the job.
All I can say is that when we were here in May talking to different people that are on race teams, whether it was McLaren or some other friends that I've made that have attempted or have competed in this race a few times over the years, that they said something that just stuck with me right now. They said, man, this place can bring the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. You know, it's just it's that kind of an emotional place where so much is riding on it, so much history here. And when days like today happen, you know, it just doesn't feel any better as a competitor. And then when, you know, we weren't able to get the finish there at the end of that race, you know, in May, it was a pretty big low. I mean, the weather was the real low, but even, you know, I know I rode in the plane with Kyle on the way to Charlotte after that, and, you know, he's pretty disappointed in himself. So it's I think that's just Indianapolis. You know, you're pushing all the time, and sometimes, you know, when you're pushing, you're not going to get the results you're hoping for, but days like today, you're going to push, and you do. And, yeah, it definitely came full circle.
Okay, we've got time for about one more. Go to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This question's for Cliff. That restart there with Brad pulling off at the last minute, there's been some conversation. In that situation, should NASCAR permit a re-rack of the field? Because in Blaney's case, you know, he's technically the control car, but he's in the lane that is not advantageous for him, where if he had that option, he would have taken the inside. See what I'm saying? So in that kind of scenario, should NASCAR allow these guys, give them a lap to, you know, repick?
Yeah, I mean, I understand it being highlighted because of it being this race and the situation because it was front row. There's been so many times in Cup races where we've seen that from 5th, 10th, 20th. It's no different. Everybody knows that's the rule. If I go to race South Boston Speedway on Saturday night in a late model, it's the same rule. Like, this isn't – I understand the question. This isn't anything new. you know, to completely shut down the race and re-rack because you had a guy pull off in a row. Every other racing series, you fill the role, fill the row, you take the green flag and move on. So I just don't see it as that big of a concern.
And then this stretch, you guys have had a lot of speed over the last, you know, 5-6 weeks, but particularly like Iowa, Nashville, Chicago, not necessarily the speed or the results to correspond with the finishes. Is that frustrating for you that you're not getting the finishes? Or are you encouraged by the fact that you guys have this speed and you're showing up week after week and you guys are in the mix?
Well, I think it's the right kind of frustration. And a lot of folks ask, you know, how special the wins are and what do you learn from the wins? You know, I think to some of the most successful organizations, teams, players, you learn more from when you fail than you do from when you win. And so for us, you know, where we've had the fast cars and we've had a day that we would consider a failure because we had a great car and had a mistake or got taken out, whatever the case may be, there's a lot to be learned in that. And it's painful along the way, but it teaches you so much about yourself, your resilience, how you build your process as a team. I'm a big process guy for how our team operates, how we communicate. That today was all about the resilience of the team. We had a pit stop that got away from us, a very odd situation. Of course, I was a little frustrated in the moment, but ultimately our pit crew did a great job to communicate their way through what that issue was. Yes, we had to pit, you know, off sequence at that point and kind of got behind, but what we were able to do as a team collectively throughout the end of the day was our process of how we communicate, what Kyle sees behind the wheel, what he thinks about, the questions he's asking me, the information I'm getting from the engineers, and then, of course, everybody below, you know, that's helping behind-the-wall support, over-the-wall execution. All those things have to come into play on a day like today. So long-winded way of answering your question that, yes, when you have a great car and you don't get the finish that you want, that can be frustrating, but that can also be very you know, a great learning opportunity to build your team. And we always take those opportunities.
All right, we got time for one more. We'll go to the back right here.
Justin Schuler, Kicking the Tires. Cliff, this is your 20th win in the Cup Series. You've had quite a few big ones. So where does this one rank compared to, like, the championship race in Phoenix and the Coke 600? All of them coming with a driver of the caliber of Kyle Larson.
Yeah, it's amazing. And certainly today was a blessing. I told Kyle this. Some days things just don't work out for you, you know, and today worked out. So what a blessing. How to rank it, I have no idea. I would love to know from Jeff how he ranks his wins or from Mr. H. Hopefully one day, a long time from now, I'll get a chance to look back and think about how to rank them. But it's been really special and, you know, very thankful to have the leadership of Mr. Hendrick, Mr. and Mrs. Hendrick, and Jeff Gordon and everybody at HMS just to encourage our team, keep us going, because there's so many people behind the scenes. It's more than just me and Kyle. You know, there's so many people behind the scenes at the shop, you know, and with us on the road every week that contribute to all these wins. It's way more than what does this win just mean for me or what does it just mean for Kyle. It's everyone at Hendrick Motorsports, and especially with how special it is being the 40th season. Mr. H right now sitting on the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 this year, so that's pretty amazing. You know, so to be at this point in this year, it's special. How to rank it, I have no idea. But certainly acknowledging the blessing and the great day that it is.